Good morning. Welcome to worship, Matthew Lutheran Church. It is wonderful to have this time of worship with you. I am Pastor Eric Trazzo, and it is my pleasure to join with you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope you find reasons to rejoice as well. This is our fourth Sunday in Advent, and so our time of preparation is coming to its fullness as we time of Christmas celebration. You can see that we are decorated and gearing up for that celebration time, but we are still in the Advent season. And so as we prepare for worship today, I invite you to prepare your hearts for a time of confession. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear now the good news. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
In Advent, we look for Christ to come in fullness so that all may know the peace, goodness, and justice of Christ's love in the world. In the lighting of the flame, we look to Christ in hope.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now is the children's time. The Lord be with you. Good morning. It is great to have this time with you once again. And I brought with me this week a gift. It is a present. I don't know what it is. It hasn't been opened yet. I know it's small, but that's about all I know. My mother sent my family a box full of little gifts, all wrapped up. They're not marked who they're for, so it might be for me, it might be for someone else in my family, it might be for our dog. I don't know, because it doesn't tell us. But we have a pile of gifts, and I can't find out yet, because I'm not supposed to open it until Friday, until Christmas Day. Christmas is a time that our houses are often full of gifts, and it can be hard to wait and not know what's there. We get excited about having the gifts around and waiting to see. I bet you're having a hard time waiting, I know I am, to find out what's in here. I do know a few things about the gift, though. Even though I don't know what's in it, I know that it's from my mother, and I know that my mother gave it because she loves me. And it's pretty exciting to know those things. Those are really important things to know, that whatever it is that's in the gift, the important thing is, I know that it's from her love. And as we move to Christmas time and we start thinking about gifts, it's a time when we think about the greatest gift of Jesus coming to us. And we look forward to Jesus. We don't know exactly what to expect, but we do know that Jesus comes as a gift to us from God because God loves us. And so we know a lot about the gift. We know that it's given in love, and we know that it is from God for us. And that's really an exciting thing, and that's what can help us wait to get to that time so we can celebrate when Christmas time does come. So I hope you can hold on into your excitement. Thank you so much.
The first lesson is taken from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. The king who's spoken of early on in this reading is King David. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, the prophet, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word to any of the tribal elders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they will live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly.'" from the time that I appointed judges over my people, and will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, God declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The word of the Lord.
Greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
The second lesson is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. This is the concluding statement. This is all one sentence. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now is disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
First saw Jesus, a baby in the crib. The same Lord Jesus today has come to live. In our world he is present, in neighbors we see. Our Jesus is with us and ever sets us free.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This fourth Sunday in Advent is the week in which we turn our attention to Mary. After 2 weeks of putting the spotlight on John the Baptizer, our focus this Sunday is squarely on Mary, the mother of Jesus. While in Protestant churches we tend not to spend much time talking about Mary, she is clearly a central figure in the Gospels. Other than Jesus, she is the only one who appears throughout the accounts of Jesus. All of the other figures come and go. The shepherds who come to Bethlehem, they arrive and sing praises and tell of the wonderful things they have seen, but they don't appear again. There is no evidence of long-term transformation coming from their experience. But Mary ponders their words in her heart, the seed of understanding growing in her of the importance of Jesus for the world. At the crucifixion, Mary is listed in the Gospel of John as one of the ones who remains there after all of the other disciples fall away. And so from beginning to end, Mary is shown to be a pillar of faith, shown to be one who understands that God is doing something special and remains faithful throughout all of the challenges of Jesus' ministry. In our lectionary today, we actually have two readings focused on Mary. Our gospel reading that we just heard is the Annunciation, with the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary to announce that she will have a son, and he is to be named Jesus. And Mary responds, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." A second text focused on Mary is from just a bit further, about five verses on in Luke 1, as Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and processes what had just occurred, framing her response in a song of praise. That song, often called the Magnificat, takes the place of the psalm for this fourth Sunday of Advent. And one of the notable things about this pairing of readings is that Mary is allowed to speak in them. Now, that's notable in two ways. First of all, women's voices are not often heard in the New Testament. In Matthew, Mary is talked about, but does not have words of her own. Luke, that we're reading today, has a greater role for women, but still only 15 times does a woman speak in the Gospel of Luke. And this is the only extended speech by a woman in the entirety of Luke's Gospel. So it's notable that Mary speaks and has something important to say. In fact, her song of praise is largely based on Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel. Only one line of the song is specific to Mary's situation. Mary is saying that from this day all generations will call her blessed in verse 48. The rest of the song is a general statement of the way that God is always at work in the world, drawn from the history of the Hebrew scriptures, and particularly relying on the line of women who have been witnesses to God's continual work through the generations. And that brings us to the second reason why it is notable that Mary speaks. This account comes just after the account of Gabriel appearing to Zechariah to announce that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son, John the Baptizer. In response, Zechariah says, "How will I know this will be so?" And for that question, he is made mute until John is born and named. When Gabriel appears to Mary, she asks a similar question, "How can this be?" And Gabriel allows her to speak, allows her to proclaim her faith in God being at work in the world. Why would Zechariah, a priest given the honor of offering incense in God's sanctuary in the temple, be made mute for asking a question, while Mary, in all likelihood a poor teenager, be praised for that same question? Why? A theme of Luke, I dare say, is that the holiest moments of revelations, the unveilings of the heart of God, are spaces where women are called on to speak and men are called on to listen. We see that theme here in the very first chapter of Luke. Let's also not forget that if we go to the very last chapter, the other end of the story, it is a group of women who are present at the tomb, to whom the angels appear and who announce the resurrection to the apostles. The disciples then dismissed the women, responded to their faithfulness with skepticism. They failed to listen and believe when the women told them that God had done something earth-shatteringly important. Let's remember, too, that Luke also wrote the book of Acts, where it is proclaimed at Pentecost that when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, that the Spirit will be poured out on all people in the broadest sense, and that sons and daughters alike shall prophesy. So it seems to me that part of the witness that we find in Luke is that the Holy Spirit moves on all people, regardless of their gender identity, to identify and proclaim the sacred revelations of God's continued work in the world, to identify the holy moments of unveiling the heart of God toward the world. And on the whole, learning to do that often requires men to learn to listen in faith more deeply, and women to speak in faithful confidence the movements of God that they recognize. So often women are attuned to different movements of God's work than men tend to be, are aware of social and spiritual dynamics that too often men miss, and so need the platform to speak of the broader dynamics of the divine and to be listened to. In so much of the world, arguments over whether women can be ordained continue to rage to this day and threaten to split denominations. Even in church bodies where women can be ordained, they are often asked to resign when they get married. Or, on a more implicit level, they are only able to be pastors of small congregations or associate pastors. Here in the ELCA, we can claim a 50-year history of ordaining women. Not nearly long enough, but significant. In the New Jersey Synod, we can point to having a female bishop, a female presiding bishop, to many of the larger congregations having currently or previously had female senior pastors. There have been several women who have stood in this pulpit. We can pat ourselves on the back, but it is also a reality that in our denomination, women in ministry face more obstacles to their ministry, are more likely to have their credentials questioned, are more likely to be referred to in diminishing ways than male counterparts, let alone the challenges of pastors who do not fit tidy categories. But that's just the level of pastors. Mary was not a pastor, nor was she one of the 12, but she was very much one of the lead disciples with a powerful understanding of the ways that God's work upends the ways of the world. Hers is a voice that needs to be heard in the church, along with the voices of so many faithful women before and after her, voices that can name aspects of God's work that are simply beyond the range of hearing of most men in positions of power, most people like Zechariah. The reality is that whether you look nearby or globally, in current trends or historical ones, there are plenty of examples of faithful men, certainly, but it's also true that more than half of the spiritual energy of congregations and church bodies come from the women. Well, more than half. We need to continually remind ourselves of the importance of having women's voices, not just in traditional roles, but in all aspects of church life. Finance committees, teaching Sunday school, assisting ministers, council presidents, across the life of the congregation. Now, I'm not saying anything that should be new or surprising for this congregation. Women have held many of those positions. And yet, the reality of the world is that if we do not continually remind ourselves of the ways that the Holy Spirit moves beyond what we perceive to be boundaries, we too easily fall back into harmful old patterns. And so this Sunday's focus on Mary rightly brings forth her voice, but also points us to the tradition of faithful women speaking faithfully and recognizing God at work in the everyday and forgotten spaces, from positions of power, but also from forgotten positions, from lowly positions like Mary as a young teenager. It is here that God's most powerful works, the incarnation, the resurrection, here is where they're revealed. It is through this line of faithful women that those works are announced to the world. Men, we continually need to learn the lesson of listening for those holy voices. And for those not used to speaking, when the Holy Spirit calls on you to speak, know that you are given permission to respond. Yours is a voice that needs to be heard, a voice needing to be listened to. And so for the voices of so many faithful and courageous women, let us give thanks to God. Amen. Let us join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God of power and might, shine your radiance and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Be with us as long as we long to see you in this world that seems so divided. Help us to see connection in you. Be with those who give of themselves for the sake of our community, especially first responders, frontline workers, and all those who work to promote health and protection. We pray for students and teachers and those seeking peace. We lift up all who suffer illness, and especially those affected by COVID-19. Hear our prayers for everyone in need.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. Gracious God, all generations call you blessed. In this Holy Spirit season, we pray for our neighbors and other denominations and faith. Inspire the faith of their people. Cultivate understanding among us and strengthen us in love and service to our community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator God, you scatter the proud. Everything we have belongs first to you. Bless and protect the seas, mountains, plains, forests, skies, and soils that surround us. Give us humility as we tend them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Righteous God, you humble the powerful and lift up the lowly. We pray for the leaders of all nations, that they amplify the voices of people in need. Guide all people entrusted with leaderships to create societies in which everyone can flourish. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, you fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Nourish those who lack access to adequate food and nutrition. Bless the work of advocates, community organizers, and food pantries. Encourage others to provide for their neighbors in need. Bestow your spirit on this congregation and empower us to comfort the people who turn to us in times of need, especially Nancy Beth, Dallas, Marge, Karen, Paul, John, Janet, Avis, Alexis, David, Chris, Elise, Patricia, and Willie. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Healing God, you pour out mercy to all who cry to you. Surround everyone in need of healing in body, mind, and spirit with your tender presence, especially Mike B., Denise, Skip and Jerry, Mike M., Joe and Kim, Allie and Jerry, Justin and Gabby, the family of Shane, Dave, and Lorraine. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all members of this congregation. We give thanks for their faithful presence among us and for the gifts that they share. Today we pray especially for John and Carol, Brandon, Debbie, Evan, Autumn and Sean, Jen, Jeffrey, and Aaron, George, Joel, and Nancy. Bless them and protect them. Help them to know your continued presence in their lives and lift them up through the bonds of Christian fellowship through this congregation. Lord, in your mercy.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, you are faithful to the promises you made to our forebears. We give you thanks for the ministry of Katrina von Bora Luther and other ancestors who organized, planned, dreamed, encouraged, and reached out as they served you. We give thanks for the bold leadership of female leaders in our times. Inspire others with their steadfast witness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share signs with one another, peace by sign or by message.
Hello, Dave. Peace with you.
God's peace to you, and welcome to live stream worship from St. Matthew Lutheran Church. By the way, if you're a first-time viewer, we hope you find this worship service to be a meaningful experience, and you'll join us again. This Thursday, Christmas Eve, there will be two pre-recorded worship opportunities available on YouTube. One will be a children's worship / activity time, and the other a more traditional Christmas Eve worship. Both should be available by noon on Thursday, December 24th, for your viewing convenience anytime afterward. And in addition to those, there will be a scheduled Zoom gathering at 7 p.m. that evening for Christmas Eve fellowshipping. So keep watching the eBlast for further information. And it's not too late to forward your estimate of giving cards. You can mail them or drop them in the box at the front door if you stop by. Please remember to pick up items from your mail slot and a poinsettia if you purchased one. Also, to the extent you are able, in addition to your regular giving, please support the deficit reduction appeal now underway through the end of this year. Remember to identify this extra gift as deficit reduction. Every donation, regardless of amount, will help. Thank you. Be advised, Pastor Eric is planning a virtual Epiphany party on Wednesday evening, January 6th at 6:30 p.m. to 7:15 for all Sunday school families through sixth grade. More information will follow regarding that event. That is a Wednesday evening, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, also, if you haven't subscribed to our weekly eBlast, it's easy to do. Go to the St. Matthew website homepage, click on Subscribe to Weekly Emails on the right side column, follow the brief instructions. This is the best way to stay informed of St. Matthew news and events. Now hear this. Next Sunday, December 27th, Bishop Bartholomew and the New Jersey Synod will be providing our worship service. St. Matthew will not, I repeat, St. Matthew will not be streaming on Sunday, December 27th. A link to join the New Jersey Synod worship will be made available to you as soon as we can. This also means there's no coffee fellowship on Zoom next week. Also, by now you're aware that Pastor Eric wants to pray for everyone over the course of this church year. So every week, families from the directory will be included in the prayers. Therefore, please don't be alarmed if you hear your name or a friend's name mentioned. And Sunday, January 3rd, we'll be distributing the Sacrament of Holy Communion as you drive through the exit driveway. See the item in the messenger for more information on that procedure. And finally, from my family to yours, we're wishing all a very Merry Christmas. Oh, wait, there is one more thing. Since we won't be streaming on the 27th and not able to sufficiently embarrass him because January 1st is his birthday, as Dave plays along, why don't you sing at home Happy Birthday to Pastor Eric? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Eric. Happy birthday to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now let us pray. Generous God, you have created all that is, and you provide for us in every season. Bless all that we offer, that through these gifts the world will receive your blessing. In the name of Jesus Emmanuel, we pray. Amen. And now let us join in praying with the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Brought a little joy into your life.